Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee-based surf band The Rev-O-Matics made their first Lake Effect appearance 2 years ago when they released their first album, We Come in Peace. Since then, the group has performed locally and toured the Midwest, spreading their spin on reverb-laden guitar to diverse audiences. In addition to their own shows, they've also shared the stage as openers for the likes of the B-52s, surf legend Dick Dale, and Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes.
The Rev-O-Matics are on the verge of releasing their second album, Nocturnia, in which they've drifted away from their original focus on classic surf rock sounds and moved to a newer and grittier interpretation of the genre.
Guitarists Drew DeLudio and Joe Weigel, bassist Peter Flessis, and drummer Jeff Schneider joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the performance studio for a preview of their new album, starting with the title track, Nocturnia.
And in the Lake Effect Performance Studio, that was the Rev-O-Matics with Nocturnia. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks, Audrey.
So since the last time we had you guys in, I can already tell a great sound difference and just a new direction. And, you know, on your bio, you have that we're actively trying to evolve a genre of music that never really got an opportunity to grow. And even just from your first album, We Come in Peace, I can tell you still have the surf rock element, but you're kind of taking it to a new place. So what were you guys thinking going into the second album? And as you grew as musicians, wrote new songs, what did you want to accomplish? What did you want to do to take it to that next level?
Well, we had a lot of success a little over a year ago when we released We Come in Peace. And, you know, a lot of that success came from people who weren't necessarily familiar with surf music discovering us and coming to see our band and, you know, playing shows with other bands that, you know, weren't necessarily fixtures in the genre. So it wasn't so much like I think a conscious decision that we made. I think we just naturally started to gravitate away from more traditional sounding surf music and realized that there was a lot of room for more instrumental music and that we were, you know, there was a lot of people that were really receptive to that. And at the same time, you know, we didn't want to alienate or we didn't want to like burn any bridges so that we, you know, weren't able to continue playing with, you know, artists like Dick Dale and, you know, these surf mainstays. But like we found that if anything, I think it's like it's grown the appeal of our band.
And I can see you've already added some pedals for your guitars, some looping.
That's
you
super
know,
cool, Audrey,
expanding upon it, and which is really great. So, you know, even with you guys as individual players, what did each of you want to do specifically? Like, I've always thought of doing this. Let's try and incorporate it.
Well, Drew and I we play with other surf bands, and they look at our rigs, and they start by kind of looking down their noses at us a little bit because, you know, I mean, I've got a humbucker on this Telecaster, and we both have overdrives on our pedal boards. We have stuff that, like the traditional guys who just play super clean Fender amps with Stratocasters, don't play in the surf genre. So it's I've almost gotten to the point where I'm intentionally like looking for weird stuff to put on my board that can give me flavors that just don't exist in the, you know,
in the genre.
Yeah, in the genre and in the pantheon of instrumental music that's mm-hmm. that's come before us.
Right, and Jeff, I mean, there's no additional pedals or electronics with a drum set, but what did you want to
But if it
to
were up to me, there would
around?
Be.
Yeah, you could give Jeff a pedal.
Well, I can certainly add some, maybe another bass drum,
right.
You know, another dozen cymbals or so.
But, like, you play with a, you know, like, you use a five-piece kit, which
yeah, right.
a lot, like, isn't necessarily
Yeah, most surf drummers use a four-piece or even a three-piece. You know, I come from more of jazz and rock background, so this is what I'm comfortable with. In terms of your original question, I think I myself want to keep progressing, want this group to keep progressing, trying different things. And I think one of the great things about this band is we all come from different backgrounds. We all bring different styles of music to the mix. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes us a lot different than a lot of other bands. We're not looking straight ahead and saying, okay, we're only going to do surf. We're never going to change. We want to evolve and keep evolving. So, mm-hmm.
See, and I'm the grandpa of the band. I go
right,
back
you
to
started it off.
I go back to the 1980s. So I was, you know, I have a punk rock background. I still consider myself to be sort of a punk rock bass player. So I keep things pretty basic. I'm playing my Fender Jag, but I like to switch off with different bass guitars. I don't use effects per se. I just feel it's more in the feel of the instrument, and just every bass that I have has a little different sound to it. So I'll switch off between instruments. But it's certainly been an evolution for the band. You know, we started this, Jeff and I, about 6 years ago. And since we had the addition of Drew and then Joe, and everything just came together and clicked at that point, and we've really coalesced as a band.
So how long has it been with just the four of you, strictly?
Oh, at least.
It's about
we're coming on 3 years.
3 years.
Okay.
Just about, yeah.
And as you've grown and toured around, more importantly, not just mm-hmm. working on your own album when you have the time to get together and do that, but as you've gone to different places, whether it's local, out of state, what has the audience response been, and what do you guys take away from tours? What do you learn to put back in the studio?
That's an awesome question. That, yeah, like, I want to take that because I feel like we have traveled a lot, and we've gotten the opportunity to play, you know, not only on traditional small tours, but we've also played relatively large venues for more national touring acts. And the response that we get outside of Milwaukee is always really, really positive. I wish it was, we were just joking, but you know, when we always talk about how when we go to Chicago, or for example, like a city like Minneapolis, which we played this summer, or as far south as Atlanta, we always come back feeling like incredibly motivated because we play these shows to these in these scenes where people come out to see original bands, and there's this expectation that like the band that's getting on stage is going to provide them with something new and something original and something that will interest them. And we don't play locally as much anymore just because that's a lot more difficult in Milwaukee, especially for a band like us that is really difficult to pigeonhole or to label. But I know that there's a lot of other bands, original acts in town that would like agree with me that, mm-hmm. you know, Milwaukee can be a pretty unforgiving town for touring bands or original acts that are born here just because of the festival scene that exists here and the expectation that, you know, when you go see a band live, they're going to provide you with entertainment, you know, maybe as opposed to like a piece of art.
Do you think that age is a factor when it comes to being successful in a certain city? Just that.
Well, the guys in Solo called
rock is
the guys in Solo called
way.
Us an old guy band.
Yeah, the,
you know,
yeah,
not a bad way, but the Milwaukee music scene, a lot of people that come in and out are, you know, young 20s, teens,
yeah.
and they're trying to, they're like, I'm going to take my career, I want to lift it off. And with Milwaukee and the festival scene focusing
yeah.
on, you know, these are new talents up and coming, that the emphasis on people who have worked hard and established and, you know,
yeah.
really found their sound
yeah.
maybe don't get as much attention.
I can tell you it's a lot easier at this point doing a band. You know, I feel that I've made all the mistakes or most of them at this point,
yeah.
and pretty much it's just a wide open road now, mm-hmm. and we just cruise along, and it's,
yeah.
it gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah, I totally agree with Pete. Like at this point, like it's a real asset for us to have as much experience as we do. I know it's cliche, like are we old guys? We're just like experienced dudes, but like, but I think that you know, yeah, like it totally is a young man's game or a woman's game. But if you're able to kind of keep it together and get through all the nonsense that usually breaks bands up when you're at that point in your life where you have to start making decisions about how you're going to put food on your table for the next 45 years, like I feel, you know, we're all past that. And so I think that there's probably younger bands that might think that at a certain point, like all that's going to have to kind of stop and, you know, quote unquote, real life takes over. And, you know, 90% of the guys and gals doing it are going to check out. And we're lucky enough to have made it through all of that and like now are able to do all these really interesting shows and we can manage our money and like our time and we can communicate with each other effectively and respectfully and like yeah, we can disagree about things and
there's no ego problems.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we have a tremendous amount of respect for each other because we're also adults.
Yeah, there's something that I guess there's a certain luxury of getting to this point in your life where you're a seasoned player and you're doing it because you love it and you don't have to quit, you know, and we're all lucky because we have families that totally embrace the fact that we're musicians.
You know, and speaking of old guys, we had an opportunity recently to open up for Dick Dale.
Tell him what an old guy is.
The man is 79 years old and he's still going. He's still the going strong. You know, the Energizer bunny.
Yeah.
He keeps going and going. And it's really inspiring to see him perform, and I don't know where he gets the energy from, but the guy still kills it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe other bands can learn that it's about enjoying it, and it's not about trying to be successful in a monetary or in a media way. And ultimately, I think you guys would agree that no matter what your timing on the scene, nothing can make up for the time you guys have spent playing your instruments and really focusing on that. So before we talk about the new album, let's hear another song.
Sure. This is called, so there's a quick story I have to tell before we play this. And I tell this live too, and I know everybody in the band's getting sick of it. But when we were on a couple smaller tours in support of our last record, Joe and I were traveling together. And to pass time in the car, I don't know what was said, but we got into a discussion about the Dirty Dozen. And I was arguing that Lee Marvin was the coolest of the Dirty Dozen. And I told Joe that I would put the kibosh on the issue by writing a song called Lee Marvin. So this tune's called Lee Marvin. We'll be right back.
That was the Rev-O-Matics with Lee Marvin. Joe, that was some awesome effects to add to the end of that.
Thank you.
You know, it's,
they indulge me.
Yeah. Let you play around with the toys.
It's always a bit of an acrobatic move.
Yeah. Just upon hearing you guys with these couple songs compared to your last visit, I don't want to say it's more aggressive. That's not the right word for it, but it's
I use the term
assertive aggressive.
That's a really good description.
When we talked about going to the studio to do the album we're finishing right now, Drew and I were talking, and I used the term abrupt. There's a lot on the new album that is very abrupt in terms of its attitude and its sound. Now, in the studio, in the mixing phase, we've kind of, I think, rounded out some of those edges. But the goal, for the band was to go in and record something that kind of captured what we sound like on stage. And on stage, we do tend to have a really edgy, kind of abrupt sound, especially with some of the shorter stuff like the song we just played.
We made a conscious decision this time around to actually record it live in the studio, as opposed to our last album, We Come in Peace, which we spent several months tracking it. But I think this album has a little bit more edginess to it. There's a lot more presence, and it was a fun album to record.
Yeah, there's a lot more character on this. And we played so much between the last album and when we decided to record. And a lot happened in my life personally. Like, I had more kids and, you know, I was just juggling all sorts of, you know, old guy responsibilities. And, like, you know, I wanted this music to get recorded. And, you know, we all kind of agreed, like, all right, let's not overthink it. Let's put our band on tape the way we sound. Live when we go and travel and play these shows, and yeah, I think we nailed it, because Joe's right, we do have this, we appeal to people who are into heavier music.
And Jeff and I have been performing together for 6 years now, and you know, we've really coalesced as a rhythm section,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, we can kind of sense each other's vibe. And I believe that's laid an excellent foundation for both Drew and Joe to layer on their guitars, and it's really worked well now with the band. We've really locked it in.
And I don't feel like we, you know, in most bands where you have a vocalist, the whole way that the band interacts is sort of revolves around the vocal structure of the song. And without that, you know, especially our rhythm section, like if that wasn't rock solid, this wouldn't work at all.
You know, being a bass player, I'm often asked by, you know, kids, they're like, hey, how come you don't play guitar? You know, guitar is a lot cooler. But I always say, you know, as a bass player, I have to hold the band together. I have to attach the drums to the melody. I'm the go-between. And if I'm playing terribly or if I'm an awful bass player, it's going to fall apart. So to me, you know, I've always felt the bass is one of the most important instruments. I have to hold the band together.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Jeff, Peter, Drew, and Joe for coming in, and it's always a great thing to have you back. And
thanks so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And I genuinely enjoy, like, being here. This is a lot of fun.
We're happy to have you. So let's give the listeners one more song of this strong group dynamic that you've established. What are you going to play us out with?
So this song was named by my 4-year-old son, Jack. It's called Have a Good Nice Day.
Have a good, nice day. That sounds great.
So that's what we'd like to leave you with. Have a good, nice day from the Rev-O-Matics.
Drew DeLudio, Joe Weigel, Peter Flesses, and Jeff Schneider make up Milwaukee's surf rock band, the Rev-O-Matics. Their second album, Nocturnia, is due to be released soon. For more information on the band and to hear their first interview with us, visit wuwm.com.